Well, it's good to see you. You can be seated. I'm really grateful to be here and be here with Brother Shepherd. Brother Shepherd's been a dear friend to me for several years. Sorry about that, sir. Make sure we get this thing on. Am I good? Got to hold it. Okay. This high-tech stuff, man, I'm telling you. I'm not very techy. We got it on. Hey, we got it on, brother.
Are we good? Okay. Good. Well, Brother Shepherd, I'm glad you mentioned about getting the gospel out here in this area, because we got a visit to make right after the service.
Okay.
My wife has done set us up with somebody right in some store right across the bridge over here. We got to stop in and see her. So
right.
We'll be having to do that after the service.
Right.
But amen. Good to see everybody here. I'm glad to be here. And I've known Brother Shepherd, I don't know how many years now, probably a handful.
Yes.
And he's always been an encouragement to me. I'm sure you know this yourself if he's your pastor. That he's always got an encouraging word to say. I don't know if I've ever seen him have a down day. Do you ever have a down day, brother?
Yes, sir.
Do you? I don't know. I've never seen it. He's always got an encouraging word to say and always lifting me up. And I always know I'm going to feel good when I see him. He's going to be an encouragement to me. So anyway, we're in the book of Habakkuk tonight. If you have your Bible, look in the book of Habakkuk. Go to Malachi, turn left, and you'll run right into him. He's back in there somewhere. I don't know about you, but for myself, you have trouble rejoicing, or do you rejoice only when good things happen to you?
Right.
I found that to be the case for me. It's pretty easy to rejoice when good things happen. I can find a lot to rejoice about. You know, if my team wins the game as they did today, I can rejoice in that. If I get the promotion at work, I can rejoice in that. If my candidate wins the election, I can rejoice in that.
Yeah.
But my question I'm asking myself, and I've asked this to myself a lot of times, how do I react when things aren't going my way?
Yes, sir.
How do I react to that? Do I always say, like, glory to God? God is good. Praise the Lord. I don't know that I often can say that.
Right.
That's not my first thought. I've been really convicted over that, because Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore.
Amen.
And then he says again in Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice.
Amen.
And my wife and I, we were talking this morning, and she was telling me about a friend of hers that was a friend of ours. This lady, probably several years ago, a Sunday night. They had gone to church and got home, and her husband died during the night, unexpectedly. A young man, too, died unexpectedly. And this was a tragedy. This happened before we got to church. And anyway, the church rallied around her like good churches do and good Christians do. And she was staying faithful. And then maybe, I don't know if it was 2 years or less, probably, she lost her. She was pregnant with twins when she lost her husband. Nobody else knew about it. But she told the pastor about it that night. Well, it was maybe a couple years later, one of those twin boys died.
Mm.
And this lady just remained faithful. And my wife was telling me that she was at her house one time, and right above her kitchen sink was that verse, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Amen.
And I thought to myself, this woman who is, I don't know that I've known too many people that have had that tragic of a situation
right.
come into their life. And yet she remained faithful through that. And here's a little reminder above her kitchen sink where she probably spent a lot of time washing dishes for her family. And yet seeing that verse right there, very convicting to me. But if the only time I can rejoice in the Lord is when good things happen, then maybe I'm not looking at it with the right perspective. You know, I'm just not seeing things with my spiritual vision the way I should be seeing it. I might be having a pity party, you could say. The proper response, really, for us as Christians in any good situation that happens, or any bad situation, or any situation, is to rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
The key is to rejoice in the Lord. I was on the highway patrol in North Carolina for 24 years, and so I had the opportunity from time to time that you had to make a death notification.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was at the hospital one time in the emergency room. This is one of the last fatal collisions I was involved in investigating or helping to investigate. And I had to go tell the woman in the little side room there in the emergency room that her husband had died. And so I'm in the little room, the side room in, and I'm sure she suspected it was not good news with a trooper standing there. But she had her two older adult children in the room, and I told her I regretted to inform her the husband had been killed in this wreck. And this woman immediately started praising God. I mean, unlike anything I'd ever seen before in my life. She began thanking the Lord for her husband, the husband he had been, his life, all of these things. Now, I'm sitting here kind of dumbfounded because I'd never seen that before. I'd never seen that. I delivered death notifications. I'd seen a lot of different reactions. I had never seen that. So much so that after we kind of, things kind of settled down, I was able to tell her, hey, I'm a Christian, and I was really touched by your testimony.
Amen.
You know, we were able to talk about that a little bit, but I'm like, wow, boy, what a response. We're in the book of Habakkuk. We're not going to go through the whole book, of course, but chapter 1, Habakkuk, he asks God, why does he allow his people to do wrong, is what Habakkuk is asking. And he wants, why don't you do something about it? And then God answers Habakkuk, but not the way Habakkuk might have expected. And God tells Habakkuk he's going to use the wicked Chaldeans to bring judgment and to punish Judah. And Habakkuk couldn't understand that. Why are you going to use an even more wicked people to judge us? But God tells Habakkuk he's going to judge the Chaldeans also. So that's in chapter 1. Chapter 2, Habakkuk tells the Lord he's going to stand guard and wait for God's explanation in chapter 2. And God gives Habakkuk assurances that he's on the throne. Everything's under control. He's got it. And in chapter 3, we're going to see Habakkuk's prayerful response to what God has told him. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the passage. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time we have together on this Sunday night. I'm thankful for each person that's here, Lord. And I don't know how you'll use this passage or this reference or this message in anybody's heart, but God, we know your word will do what it is supposed to do. It does not return unto you void. And I pray, God, you'll speak to our hearts tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, Habakkuk says, neither shall fruit be in the vines. Picture this in your mind. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Sounds like a desperate situation. Here's his response, people. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So we don't know much about Habakkuk except what's in these three chapters, and his name means embracer or embraced. He was not only a prophet, he was a poet, a skilled poet, and he demonstrates his poetical writing in this book, and he records this dialogue in between himself and God, and it kind of reminds me of the personal relationship that we ourselves can have with God.
Amen.
Now, and we can see this personal interaction between Habakkuk and God. I don't mean like you can talk to God out loud and God's going to talk to you out loud. I don't mean that. There are some times we can read in the Bible when that happens, but actually that's the exception rather than the rule. God speaking audibly. Can God speak audibly to folks today? I suppose God can do whatever he wants to do. But I don't believe there's going to be any new revelation out of what we have right here. Is this not amazing to think about? The God of this universe has given us everything we need. In a book that we can have. Your own copy. I mean, that's amazing. Have you ever seen those folks like they're being in some, like China, and somebody will sneak a case of Bibles in? Have you ever seen those folks how they're about to tear the place apart to get those Bibles? And yet we probably have four or five at home. That's amazing.
Yes, sir.
Boy, they'll do anything to get a copy of the Word of God. They'll pass it around. They'll treat it with reverence, respect. It's amazing to watch those Christians in China. Our brothers and sisters, by the way. They'd give anything to be able to sit in a place like we're sitting in right now.
Yes,
not to worry about the police knocking the door down. just to hear the word of God preached. They probably only dream about it.
Right.
Yeah. And here we are, we have it.
Amen.
We've got it. Man, what a blessing. But we see this personal relationship. So how does God speak to his children? Well, we know as Christians that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and he takes up residence in our life, and we get saved.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
At the moment of salvation. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is the believer's teacher of John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things.
Amen.
And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. Boy, how important that is in our day.
Amen.
So much fake news out there, as they say, they call it. Don't know what to believe.
Yep.
And yet the Holy Spirit, when you start hearing truth being preached, truth being taught in your Sunday school class by your pastor, boy, the Holy Spirit said, yep, that's truth right there, son.
Amen.
You're hearing truth. You can trust what God is saying.
Amen.
He guides us into truth. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He assists us in prayer, the Holy Spirit does. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered.
Amen.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills a believer with joy and peace. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And those are just a few jobs that the Holy Spirit has. But how does God speak to his children? Well, we have the Bible.
Amen.
Right? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, what is right, for reproof, what is wrong, for correction, how to get it right,
Amen.
For instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right.
That's right.
That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And we wonder why preachers so much emphasize reading the word of God.
Yeah.
They emphasize it. It's not just because they have nothing else to say.
Yeah.
Right? Not trying to guilt trip you. Man, it's trying to help you.
Right.
Read the word of God. It's trying to help you. All scripture.
Yep.
All scripture. I heard this illustration by David Livingston, famous missionary back in his time, going across Africa. It is said that he carried 73 books when he first started out, and got about 300 miles with these 73 books. I think was weighed about 180 pounds as he's going through the jungles there in Africa, and started realizing, I got to get rid of some of these books. So he started getting rid of books to make the load a little bit lighter. But there was one book he didn't get rid of.
Amen.
One book. If you're going to get rid of your books, don't get rid of this book.
That's right. Amen.
Don't get rid of the book.
Amen.
Don't get rid of the book. But he threw all of them other way. Here's Habakkuk. He's a prophet with a question. He's struggling with the sins of Israel, and he wants God to do something about it. Now, I'll tell you, in our day in America, it's easy for us to wonder about the sins of our country.
Sure.
What's God going to do about it? What's he going to do?
Yep.
Habakkuk doesn't understand why God has decided to let the people suffer at the hands of an enemy that's worse than they are.
Yeah.
But that's what God is going to do, and maybe we struggle with that as well. When is God going to judge America? And why is he going to let us suffer maybe at the hands of people we think are more evil than we are? And we're pretty evil, man.
Yeah.
We're an evil country.
Yes, sir.
I think of all those innocent children, babies,
yes,
slaughtered over the years, millions.
Yeah.
God's not going to let that go.
Right.
But God answers Habakkuk's questions, and God is going to answer our questions as well. The theme of Habakkuk is faith, and Habakkuk is a prophet of faith. So we're going to see a discouraging development. We read about it in verse 17, Habakkuk chapter 3. picture this in your mind. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, I don't know if Habakkuk had an agricultural background. We know he was a prophet. Habakkuk 1:1 clarifies that for us. But in this passage, Habakkuk's painting a picture here, and he's using these agricultural terms that indicate some type of farming operation. He talks about fig trees and olive trees and grapevines and fields and cattle and flocks. And we can see this diversified, if you will, farming operation. But in the picture that he paints, it doesn't sound like a very successful farming operation.
Right.
The fig tree shall not blossom. There's no fruit in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stalls. And that does not sound like a successful farming operation. I grew up on a farm. I was never a farmer. I grew up on a farm. My dad, for whatever reason, didn't try to tell me how to, all the steps in the raising whatever crop we were raising at the time. Basically, he taught me how to spray the crops or plow the field or things like that. But, if I was going to learn how to farm, he wasn't going to teach me that. I guess I was more of a worker, I guess you could say. But in Habakkuk's day, they would have been very familiar with what Habakkuk was talking about because they lived off the land. You know, we don't really live off land. We need something. Most of us go to the store to get it. Back in Habakkuk's day, they would have been very familiar with what was going on. And we can kind of get a picture in our mind. Hey, things aren't looking good on the farm, man.
Right.
The crops ain't growing and there's no herd out there and there's nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. People in our day started raising chickens. Some of y'all might raise chickens. That goes on in our, where they're getting eggs, and people in our area are doing that. I know some people probably grow their own fruit trees, and from what I hear, it can take about 3 to 5 years for that tree to bear fruit. But farming is not just preparing the soil and planting the crop, although that's part of it. There's a lot of work required in farming, but you also need the weather to cooperate.
Yeah.
You don't need it to rain too hard. You need rain, but don't let it rain too hard. Don't let it rain too long.
Yeah.
It's just so many things that are going on in there. You don't want to get it too hot. Don't want to get it too cold.
Yep.
A lot of variables. But what happens when the crops don't produce? What happens when your family, you think about it as a man who wants to provide for his family,
yes,
as men should want to do.
Yes, sir.
And he can't do it. He's failed.
Yep.
Think about that. In Habakkuk's day, there was no Walmart. There was no Sam's. There was no Dollar General. They're everywhere in our day, but back then there was none.
Yep.
If your crops didn't produce, you were in trouble. I mean, that was big time trouble.
Right.
Not only were you in trouble, which would be bad enough, but your family, your wife, your kids, they're in trouble too.
Yep.
If you think about that on a man, the pressure on a man to produce something like that, and that man is nothing. Now everybody's looking at you, what you gonna do?
Right.
You know, what are you gonna do? There's no crop insurance. There's no government program. So in this passage in Habakkuk 3:17, the farmer examines his fig trees and there's no blossom. There's no fruit on the vines. There's no olive that has produced. There's no crop in the fields. There's no livestock. So if you can put yourself in this farmer's shoes in that situation, put yourself there. Think about if you were maybe hungry right now and you think, I'm going to get something to eat when I go to the house, but there's nothing there. This isn't just a year when the olive didn't produce. I mean, nothing. There's nothing.
Right.
There's nothing. Even the sheep and the cattle are gone. I don't know how you are. When you hear bad news, we've all probably heard bad news that happens to a person. Somebody gets cancer. Somebody gets a divorce. Somebody, their house gets burned down. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me. When it's you, though, I don't know. I just feel maybe, I feel like it's a lot more, when it's you, it's a lot more personal.
Right.
I mean, yeah, our heart goes out to others and we try to help, but still it's not you.
Right.
But when it's you.
Yeah.
That's very discouraging. It's not your friend. It's not your neighbor. It's not your coworker. It's you. What do you do when this happens to you? So we see a very discouraging development.
Yes.
Okay, here in Habakkuk. And then we're going to see this, though. We're going to see Habakkuk, what he does with this. We're going to see a determined decision. Verse 18.
Amen.
Verse 18, Habakkuk chapter 3. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That phrase, God of my salvation, is found 7 times in the Bible, 5 times in the Psalms, once in the book of Micah, and here in Habakkuk. But God can not only save, God is salvation.
Amen.
We see this determined decision in verse 18, and we can call it a choice to rejoice, if you will. Habakkuk has seen Judah's own moral and spiritual failings. He had seen this. This bothered him in his day. It bothers us in our day when we think about our own country's failures. And although Habakkuk was bothered by his own people, God's response bothered him even more. God was going to use these wicked Chaldeans to bring judgment. Habakkuk didn't understand this, but he did know he could trust in the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
And so Habakkuk makes a choice here. And we see it in verse 18. In spite of all this, he just laid out for us. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And look, the interesting thing here, we see that his circumstances from verse 17 to verse 18, they didn't change. You can read it. It's not like, hey, he got a letter in the mail or a check in the mail. No. Verse 17 is dire circumstances.
Right.
Desperate circumstances. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the field, nothing in the barn, nothing. And yet, we see his response in verse 18.
Amen.
It's good for us here to see this. What has changed is Habakkuk, he doesn't ask God any more questions here. Mm-hmm. In the remaining verses of the passage, as you read it, he is not asking God any more questions.
No.
He's just taking God. We're going to find out what Habakkuk does. He resolved to rejoice. I read about a family. This was years ago. They lost 3 children to diphtheria in the same week. So it was the husband and wife, and they had a 3-year-old daughter that survived. They go to church the next following Sunday. The dad was a Sunday school superintendent. So he opens up the service as he always does. And on the way out of church, one of the other young men in the church told his dad, "Boy, they sure do believe that Easter story, talking about the resurrection of all this." And the dad said to the son, "Well, son, all Christians believe that."
Yeah.
And the son said to the father, but not like they do.
Amen.
Not like they do. When you ain't got nowhere else to go,
yep.
We can always go to God.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
When you have nowhere else to go, nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to get any help,
yep.
Habakkuk and these folks in this illustration, they found out that their inner peace was not dependent on their outward prosperity. Their inner peace was not dependent on their outward prosperity. That's good for us to keep in mind.
Yes.
Because it's not going to always be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to always be good for us. Someday it's going to be us on the receiving end of that bad news.
Yes, sir.
It's going to come to us.
Yep.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do when it does? I've heard this, and probably you have too. Your attitude is your choice. It's easy to say, isn't it?
Right.
Easy to say. We're all presented with different situations, different circumstances. We all have a choice how we're going to respond. And I'm glad, though, that as Christians, we don't have to depend upon, because you'll see these things in the world. You'll hear sayings. Somebody say, well, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? You hear somebody say that. Somebody might say, it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up. Somebody might say, the Marines like to say, it's mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And all those kind of motivational kind of sayings. And there's also, like, how many self-help books can you find at the store? The world looks to mental health professionals as well.
Yep.
And I'm not against mental health professionals, and I'm not against motivational sayings, and I'm not against self-help books. I think they have their place. But what I am saying is you can't leave God out of that equation.
Right. Yes, sir. Good.
Don't leave God out of whatever's going on in your life. Leave room for God to work.
Amen.
If I could say it that way. And that's what Habakkuk has chosen to do. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, he's not rejoicing in the circumstances, but he's rejoicing in the God of the circumstances.
Amen.
We've got to keep that in mind. These circumstances didn't catch. And they're not going to catch God when they come into your life or my life. They didn't catch God off guard.
Right.
God's not surprised. He's not shocked.
Right.
He's not, I didn't mean for that to happen. G. Campbell Morgan says this. He translates this passage in his way. I will jump for joy in the Lord. Then he said this, our joy is in proportion to our trust. Our trust is in proportion to our knowledge of God. Our trust is in proportion to our knowledge of God. To know Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to triumph and excel. May we be led into the fuller knowledge and so find fuller faith and so enter the fuller joy. So how can we have the mindset of Habakkuk? Habakkuk commits to praising God regardless of the circumstances.
Yep.
We already know the circumstances are dire.
Yep.
I mean, the reality, the truth of the situation has set in. It's real here. And yet his praise, Habakkuk's praise, is not dependent upon his blessings. And you think about the others in the Word of God that we've read or heard about that went through similar circumstances. You remember Job. Job chapter 13, verse 15, when Job says this, though he slay me.
Yeah.
Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him.
Amen.
We think about the three Hebrew children. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. The fiery furnace is right there. Okay?
Right.
It's right there. They can feel the heat. Okay? And this is what they say. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not,
there you go. Amen.
Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Amen.
And remember Esther? Remember Esther? Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens, I will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish.
Yep.
How do you say that? Sounds like God has become really real to her.
Amen.
You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It sounds like God has really become real to them.
Yes, sir.
Think about Job. That's a relationship, man.
Amen.
We can have that relationship.
Yes, sir.
It's not just because if we read about them in the Bible and think, well, these are Bible folks in the Bible. That can't. No, that can be you.
Yes.
That can be me.
Yep.
How do these different folks live in different times, different situations, different circumstances, they all respond the same way.
Right.
And the key is in an earlier passage of Habakkuk. You go back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. This is the key. It's the key for us as well tonight. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
By his faith.
Yeah.
But the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk has given us the answer right here.
That's right.
The same answer Job had.
Yep.
The same answer Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. The same answer Esther had.
Right.
The just shall live by his faith.
Amen.
That's a timeless truth right there.
Yes, sir.
And what's today's day? Today's December 7th. Pearl Harbor Day,
yes,
by
sir.
The way.
That's right.
December 7th. The just shall live by his faith. It's still true today.
Amen.
There's still timeless truth right there. The just shall live by his faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
For it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. A person can only be saved through faith.
Right.
A person can only be saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tell us. A saved person walks by faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. A Christian cannot please God apart from faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And yet we find Habakkuk demonstrating his faith. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So the reason Habakkuk can rejoice is not because he was strong in faith. The reason Habakkuk can rejoice is because of who his faith is in.
Yes.
I read about two climbers, rock climbers, way high up there. They both fell. One saw a branch sticking out from the rocks. Didn't grab it, fell to his death. The other guy saw the branch, grabbed it, and his life was spared. Now, it wasn't the strength of that guy who reached out and grabbed that branch. It wasn't the strength of his faith that kept him alive. No. It was what he grabbed hold of.
That's right.
Just like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
I don't have to believe hard enough. It's not how hard I believe or how hard I try.
That's good for you.
My faith is in Him.
Right.
It's all on Him.
Amen.
It's all on Him. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Adrian Rogers says this, weak faith in God is better than strong faith in anything else. Faith is what counts. It is not the size of your faith. It is the object of your faith that really counts.
Amen.
Think about how our faith is in the one who conquered death.
Amen.
He came out of that tomb.
Yep.
He came out of that. He's coming back again too.
Yes.
That's who our faith is in. So when we sit here and are feeling down and despondent or whatever we might feel, let's remember who our faith is in.
Amen.
It's not up to me.
Right.
It's not up to you.
Yep.
It's up to Him.
Right.
He's going to keep His word.
Amen.
He cannot dishonor His word.
Amen.
Habakkuk's faith is what he says, the God of my salvation. So we can rejoice with Habakkuk as well. In the God of our salvation.
Amen.
If you're saved, you're secure in the God of your salvation.
Right.
There will be good times. There are going to be bad times. There are going to be in between times. But we can be secure in the God of our salvation.
Amen.
There may be times a fig tree will not blossom. There may be times there's no fruit in the vine. There may be times there's no crop in the field. There may be times there's no herd in the stall. But there will never be a time that you are without God.
Amen.
Never.
Yep.
Never be a time. Car breaks down the highway tonight. It's okay. I'm not saying you're going to enjoy it, but hey, God is with you.
Amen.
God knows you're broke down.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Amen.
God needs some help.
Yes.
Lord, I'm out here on the side of the road. Send me some help.
Amen.
Amen. What a great reminder for us. It was about a little over a year ago now. I sent a text message to a friend of mine who at the time was battling a deadly brain tumor. I sent this passage to him. I don't know, it was just one of them times I was reading my Bible in the Word, and I just thought about my friend. God put him on my heart, so I sent him this. I texted him this exact passage, and he texted me back. That's a tremendous scripture, my friend. Now, at this time, where he was at, he already knew he had a deadly brain tumor. I mean, they'd already done some surgery, and it was just, he's waiting on the Lord. Is the Lord going to heal him or not?
Right.
That's where he's at. And so he texts me back. That's a tremendous scripture, my friend. The sweet peace of these months has been the presence of the Lord. Regardless of what situation we are standing in and cannot even understand, He, capital H-E, knows it all. He is guiding through it all, and He is present. There is no substitute, all caps. So that was his response to my text. And as time went on, the tumor continued to make progress in doing what tumors do. And it got to where he couldn't even return a text. It was having its way, the tumor was. And it was not that long ago that my friend, I think it was September 21st of this year, my friend passed on into glory. And I know if my friend was here tonight, he would tell you that what he texted me on that day was just as true then.
Amen.
As it is tonight. Now his faith has become sight, my friend.
Amen.
His faith has become sight. My friend can say with Habakkuk, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the vine, from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So we can rejoice in the Lord when we can't rejoice in the circumstances.
That's right.
We can rejoice in the Lord when we just don't feel like we can rejoice in the circumstances. We find joy not only in the God of our salvation, we can find joy in the God of our situation. So we see a discouraging development. There's no doubt about it. It was discouraging. We see a determined decision. But we also see, lastly, a definite dependence. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So Habakkuk lets us know here where his strength comes from.
That's right.
Pay attention to that. The Lord God is my strength.
Yeah.
He's not depending on his own ability. He's not depending on the ability of a friend or a family member. We see a definite dependence upon God. And what Habakkuk does here is what we need to do. Let's recognize where our strength comes from. It's from God. You feel like your relationship with God depends on how much strength you have. You feel like your circumstance is not favorable to you, that it's up to you to buckle down and push through. Habakkuk didn't feel that way. He knew where his strength came from.
Right.
We can learn from him here. In the beginning of the book, Habakkuk has some questions for God about what God was doing. Habakkuk asked those questions with reverence and respect. And sometimes to us, it's not obvious what's going on. This usually occurs when we find ourselves in a trial or a test, or when it seems that our enemies may be prospering around us. But Habakkuk confirms to us as we read through this passage here that God is a sovereign, omnipotent God. He lets us know God has everything under control. He lets us know that all we have to do is to be still and wait on him.
Amen.
We can trust that the God who says he is going to do what God says he will do.
Yep.
Our strength comes through our surrender. Our strength comes through our surrender. When we recognize the situation and we look to God, we look to the Lord, he's our strength.
Amen.
It's not about what I can do and how tough I can be and tough-minded I can be and disciplined. Those things have their place and they're good.
Sure.
But it's not my strength.
Right.
That's going to get me through. It's not your strength that's going to get you through. It's his
Amen.
Strength. Paul encourages us to be strong, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10. One of the most well-known verses of Scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we understand this verse does not mean that God will give me the strength to do whatever I can do. In the context of that passage, Paul is thanking the Philippians for their support of him. And this all things refers to enduring life's circumstances, not accomplishing any personal ambition or superhuman feat. The verse is about spiritual endurance and relying on Christ's power.
Right.
To navigate the highs and the lows that come with life, because they come to all of us. They come to all of us. You may be doing good right now. You know, as they say, you're getting ready to come out of a trial or you're going to go into one.
Yep.
That's for all of us.
Yep.
What are we going to do? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Psalm 84 verse 5. The psalmist says when the difficulties, disappointments, and defeat are about to overwhelm you, the Lord gives you strength to go on. They go from strength to strength.
Amen.
Psalm 84, verse 7. Then Isaiah reaffirms what Habakkuk himself knows. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
The Lord God is my strength, Habakkuk says.
Yep.
And he will make my feet to be like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. I'm old enough, and some of you may be old enough to remember Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom back in the day, many years ago now. I used to like to see those animal videos. But I saw a video recently of it looked like, I would describe it as a deer. It was like a sheer wall that went straight up. And this deer was on this mountain wall, climbing this mountain wall. And it was amazing. But that verse came to my mind when I saw that video. And I thought about, wow, that's amazing. These animals have that ability to do that.
Yeah.
And the closest animal I could find that would do that was what they call an ibex. But it's through the Lord's strength and his power that we were able to go to those higher places.
Amen.
It's through his strength and his power that enables us to go to those high places.
That's right.
Sometimes the way we have to go is to get us there through suffering and sorrow. But if we rest in Him and we trust in Him and we come out of the other side of victory where He wants us to come out, when we trust in the Lord. Amen. Think about the things we learned from Habakkuk just tonight. Remember that your strength, my strength, comes from God,
right,
not from our own ability. When the events of the day overwhelm you like they can do, shift your focus to God's sovereignty.
Amen.
Remind yourself that He's in control.
Right.
Even when things seem chaotic,
yep,
as they do. Remember the fundamentals of the Christian life, right? Bible reading is never going to go away.
Right.
There'll never be a time where you say, well, I've read all the Bible I need to read. That's never going to happen.
Right.
It's a fundamental thing that we do as Christians. Read the Word of God. Pray.
Right.
Listen to preaching. Memorize scripture to help,
yep,
you with your situation.
Yep.
All of those things. Remember to make the choice to rejoice.
Amen.
Not saying it's going to be easy, because it's not.
Right.
Remember the choice to praise God in the midst of the storm. The same God that brought you to the storm will bring you through the storm.
Amen.
You know this. Habakkuk doesn't promise the removal of hardship, but assures us that God provides the strength to endure and to reach greater heights than we have ever known. Habakkuk's God is our God.
That's right.
Habakkuk doesn't have a special touch of God. The same God Habakkuk served is the God we serve.
That's right.
We have access to God just like He did. And we'll close with the passage. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the victory shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Join me in prayer as we close the service, Pastor. Father, just thank You for the few minutes we've had around Your Word tonight. I'm very grateful, Lord, for this passage of Scripture and how it helps us, God, to focus on the realities, God.
Yes.
That we are not, don't have to be super men or super women. God, we just turn to You. We rest in You.
Yes.
We look to You. You give us strength to continue.